and thank you, and you may be seated. We appreciate again all of you that are here this morning, and what a great and wonderful day it is to be able to come together with those of like precious faith from Webb Chapel Church of Christ over at Farmers Branch, and also the RV rally from down at Grapeland. And all of the folks who have come from Mississippi and perhaps Tennessee and Arkansas and Louisiana and other places to be there this week. It has been a tremendously rewarding week, and we want you to know how much we really do appreciate all of you so much. And it's great to have you in worship, and we hope that all of you will stay around for lunch today after the morning worship service. We have been talking about being in the trenches over the last few days and what it really means to be in the trenches and how we get out of the trenches and how we move on to greater goals in life. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about going for the goal. You know, rarely do we really stop and analyze our life and make calculations about what we ought to do regarding goals in our life. Sometimes at the beginning of the year, we will initially on, or perhaps even before January the 1st, start thinking about resolutions, that is, changes that might need to be made in our life. And I hope you're already doing that. All of us need to make changes in our life. I appreciate people who even try sometimes, maybe when they don't know exactly how they're going to reach that goal. Several years ago, a friend of mine told me a story about a mother who was sick in bed, and she had the flu, and her little daughter wanted so much to be a good nurse, and so she brought Mom an extra pillow, and then she brought her a magazine to read, of all things. And then she even showed up with a surprise cup of tea. And the mother took a sip of the tea and she said, "Wow." She says, "I didn't even know you knew how to make tea." And the little girl said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I've been watching you for all of these years. And I put some water in the pot. And then I put the tea leaves in. And then I boiled the water. And then I strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used the flask water instead." And the mother said, "Oh, my. Why would you do that?" And she said, "Oh, don't worry, Mom. I use the old one." Well, you know, in life, we always attempt at trying to make things better in our life. We always think about goals, but for some reason or another, we never really get around to them. Many years ago, most of you will know geographically that the southernmost tip of Africa was called the Cape of Storms. Until those conquerors sailed around that cape, and it became later known as the Cape of Good Hope. You know, you and I in life today have every reason to face our world with hope. Sometimes we feel like when we talk about reaching goals, I'll never be able to reach that goal. I'll never be able to pass forward, but we can. And this morning, I want to talk to you about seven reasons why people fail to reach their goal in life. If you could really stop and analyze people today, they would be in one of these three categories. They would either be cold, or they would be hot, or they would be lukewarm. And let me remind you of the words that Jesus gave to the church in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "So then, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You know, there are so many in our world today that need to get out of the trenches. God didn't make us to live in the trench, but God empowered us to get out of the trench and go on to the goal that is before us. Consider with me this morning reasons why people never ever reach their goal. I would suggest to you number one reason why people don't is that they have a way of just drifting away from their ambitions and from their goals in life. What should we do? We have friends or family who have drifted away from God. Most of us could say that this morning. And then where is our role in that? What should we do? What should our goal be regarding that? Have you ever known someone who was faithful at one time to God, but they just stopped being faithful all of a sudden? Now, I know that God appreciates faithfulness, for it was Jesus in the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10. He challenged us. He says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." You see, the crown of heaven, that is the reward for reaching our goal. And the number one goal we all ought to be shooting for this morning is the goal of heaven. That ought to be the ambition of every Christian in life. But as I've told you before, there are many people who have great ambitions in life, but they never do anything. Instead of climbing the stairs or the ladder to success in life, they're standing in front of the elevator, and they're still waiting. And you know what? God says we have to move forward, but you have to get out of the trenches and on to greater things in your life. Many of us start, but we don't end. We don't finish. Solomon said, "Better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof." Someone told me the other day that they had heard some timely words on the Dr. Phil show. Any of y'all watch Dr. Phil? Anybody? Well, Dr. Phil proclaimed that the way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things that you started. So this woman told me, she says, "You know, I looked around the house to see things I started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house this morning, I finished off a bottle of chocolate. I finished off some Oreos. I finished off a pot of coffee and the rest of the cheesecake and the Godiva chocolates." Well, Dr. Phil was not talking about that. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we miss the mark. We don't really understand what Christ is talking about. In the Old Testament, when Moses faced that Red Sea, God says unto him, "Stretch out your rod," and the water parted, and Moses said something to the children of God that was so important, and I thank God that they heeded that great command. God says simply, move forward. Move forward. Many of us move backward in our life. In the book of Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "If anyone is caught in a transgression, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, and keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted," he says. He says, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When I think about people that go astray or people in their own lives sometimes who fail to measure up and continue to go for the gold, I'm reminded of Psalm 73 and verse 2. David said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps," he says, "has well nigh slipped." Now, even in David's greatest attempts to be all that God really wanted him to be, and the Bible even says that he was a man after the heart of God. He loved God very deeply, but there were times when David didn't measure up. There were times when he was weak, and there are times, no doubt, when all of us are. But what we have to do in our moments of weakness is simply keep our eyes on the goal. You know what? If you take your eye off of the goal, you are going to slip and you will never reach that goal. That's why Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed," listen, "to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And they do. So what should I do is keep my mind on the goal. Number two, some people cease to believe that the goal is attainable. Oftentimes we set goals and we think, boy, I can reach this goal, but after a few setbacks, we all back away and we just quit because we think that that goal is unattainable. But in reality, we have to remember that if a particular plan that we have for reaching that goal does not work, then change the plan, but don't change the goal. You know, I want to go to heaven today. And I have goals of getting there. I do. And I have plans. I have God's plan, but I have my plan that is working with God's plan to help me get there. I understand that there are some things that God wants me to do, but there are some things that we all have to abstain from in order to meet the goal of God. But how many people do you know that have walked away from God? I have known of many. I have in my lifetime. Someone asked me the other day this question, which has been asked, no doubt, I suppose, by every preacher or to every preacher. Is it possible for one to lose his salvation? I think it is possible. I don't believe in a concept that says once you're saved, you will always be saved, because we all fail at times. Listen to these words. Paul writes in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he said it is impossible for those who have been enlightened. Now what he talks about when he talks about the enlightenment is coming to Christ and knowing him, he's a Christian, who have tasted the heavenly gift and they have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers, he says, of the coming age, if they fall away to be brought back to repentance, because to lose their loss, they have crucified the Son of God all over again and subjected him to public disgrace. Isn't it a shame sometimes that people fall away? That's what we're called upon to do, is to motivate one another, help them reach their goal. Zig Ziglar said many years ago, when I was over in Yazoo City, Mississippi, Zig Ziglar made the statement, the best way in the world to reach your goal is to help someone else reach their goal. And that's so true in life, isn't it? If we really want to be what God wants us to be, let's help somebody else become what God wants them to be. But too many people fall away. They are falling away from God every day. They're going into what we call apostasy. It's not just falling away, but it is just leaving God and getting as far away as they possibly can. They leave the faith, they turn, they wander from truth many times, and they go back into a world of sin. They leave what we call the umbrella of God's grace that we were singing about a moment ago. They separate themselves from the love of Christ, Romans chapter 8. And they fall away, and then they will be eternally lost. Keep your eye on the goal. But number three, many miss the goal because of boredom. They do. Have you ever noticed how people get bored? Any of you bored this morning? I see a few of you sleeping. No, I hope you're not. I hope you're not. But sometimes, someone told me one time, I asked him, I said, what time does your service start? He said, it starts at 10:30 sharp and it ends at 11:30 dull. You know, we ought to be people that get excited when we come to worship. Appreciate the good song service, David, this morning, and all of you who have been zestfully praising God in song. But too many times people look like this in worship. They do. I mean, they're bored to tears, if you will. But you have to ask yourself the question, is church really boring? Is it really boring? It shouldn't be. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of God. And Isaiah rejoiced in the opportunity to be in the presence of God. But if the church is boring to you, you have lost your zeal, and you are barely attached, and you're not committed. Do you know what? There is a tremendous difference between being attached and being committed. There are many people who are attached in a marriage, but not committed to one another. They have a document that hangs on the wall that says that they are married, and they are attached by government standards, but they have not committed themselves to one another. And I'm afraid that in the church of our Lord, what Jesus said in Matthew 16 is not really true of many of us today. For Jesus said, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. We must be committed to Christ. It is not enough to be attached. The attached members of the body come and sit on a pew, and after church they go their way, and they never do anything for God. They never pray. They never read the Bible. They never let God work in their lives, and they come back the next service to be attached once again. But I can tell you, one reason you are bored even with the Bible is that you never study it. You know, people make claims all the time. Well, the Bible's just so boring. The Bible isn't boring. Bible is one of the great, listen, it is the greatest book in all of the world, and it is still the bestseller. And you and I, if we're going to reach our goal, we have to fight against spiritual boredom. We do. You know, I've always said, and I've always tried to live this, you and I ought to be zealous. We ought to be enthusiastic in life. But what is the real meaning of the term enthusiasm? That word, believe it or not, originated in the Greek language, and that is the language in which the New Testament was written. It comes from the word entheos, which actually means being possessed or inspired by God. That's really what it means, is that God is in you. God is in you. Jesus made a quote in the Old Testament one time when he said, "Zeal for thy house, the house of the Father, hath consumed me." But boredom will never reach its goal, and there is a tremendous danger that God calls attention to throughout the Bible. We have to stir up our faith, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 or 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. By reminder, he says, even though you're doing what you ought to be doing, I'm still reminding you to keep you doing what you ought to be doing. He says to stir up your pure mind, 2 Peter 3 and verse 1, and start studying the Bible again. Commitment means that you are staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after, listen, the mood you said it in has left you. You know, people get all emotional at times, and we get charged up. But then after a while, the mood kind of fades, doesn't it? That's the difference between being committed and being attached. And that's the difference between being a failure in terms of reaching your goal or being a success. A lot of people have stopped investing time in a meaningful relationship. And you know what? That's true in the church. The church will never mean much to you until you really get involved in the work and the kingdom of God. Maybe if the truth was known this morning, many of you aren't living out your unique purpose that God has given to you. And you've never really accepted the calling of God. You spend more time doing things for God, now listen to me, than being alone with God. And there is a difference. There's a difference. You know what? Preachers sometimes are guilty of that. We do things, we get busy, we're doing all these things for God, and sometimes we don't spend enough time with God. And people sometimes, and I've known of many gospel preachers who have done this very thing, who have said, because of it, I quit. I quit. It's over. They will never reach their goal. How do you reach it? Keep your eye on the goal. But number four, some miss the goal because they are lazy. You know, we live in a lazy, lazy world, do we not? And Paul addressed that to the Romans in the 12th chapter when he used the word slothfulness. You ever seen a sloth hanging from a tree? He says that's the way many Christians are. They're just so slothful. They are lazy. They are indolent. They don't want to do anything. And I will tell you, there are a number of things that limit your success and your ability to reach the goal. When you are lazy, or when you feel like you are entitled to that goal. We have a lot of people in our country today that believe, and we hear, keep hearing these words, entitlement, entitlement, and we're afraid that if we elect certain people, they're going to take away our entitlements. Let me tell you something. You didn't come into this world with entitlements from God or from the government. There are a lot of people that never reach their goal because of jealousy. They are so jealous of other people. But those people that are out there busting it and working hard to reach their goals are different from the people who are sitting on the sidelines, as Brother Ray Frank said this morning in Bible class. who are sitting on the bench and do nothing. And yet people get jealous, they become envious, they are selfish, they set poor standards in life, they are complacent, they blame everybody else, and they've got all, listen, they have a litany of excuses that they want to make in life. They do. So many things. We could go on. The word sloth is a word that we don't use a lot. But I'm going to tell you, slothfulness is the sin that needs no effort. It doesn't. And we have to conquer laziness if we're going to reach the goal, if we're going to get out of the trench. In Proverbs 6:6-11, we need to learn what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we need to consider the end and be wise, verse 6. Self-starters, use our time wisely. Don't wait for everybody else to pump you up and get you going. Discipline yourself. Don't sleep when there's work to be done. And involve yourselves in the spiritual work of the kingdom. Redeem the time, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Success is not easy, and it is not for those who are lazy. It isn't. You will never reach your goal. You may have ambition, you may have aspirations, but I'm going to tell you, it will never take place when you're lazy. You know why? The Bible confirms it. In the book of Proverbs 10 and verse 4, the lazy hands will make you poor, but hard-working hands will make you rich. Rich in good works, rich financially. God blesses those that bless Him. And sending a lazy person to do anything is as irritating as vinegar on your teeth or smoke in your eyes. Can you relate to that? You ever had smoke get in your eyes? You ever got vinegar on your teeth? He said it's irritating to be around lazy folk. It is, especially when you're doing all the work. Lazy people will cause their own destruction because they refuse to work. I thank God that our president has put more people back to work than ever before. Is there an amen to that? But there's some people that are just lazy. They don't want to work. They want the government to take care of them. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8, if someone is too lazy to work, their house will begin to leak. And the roof will fall in. Take note of that. Maybe some of you had leaks this last week when all this rain came. Don't look at each other. You want to reach your goal? Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye there. But number 5, some miss the goal because they get overextended. How many of you feel like you're just overextended? Anybody? I get that feeling sometimes. I do, but it goes away when something else comes along that I've got to do. We all get overextended at times. We do. Sometimes we look at our to-do list, and I start out in the morning. I really honestly do. I start out in the morning, and I start thinking, hey, I show it to Laura Lee most of the time. Don't know, Laura Lee. You can say amen. No. Yeah. I show it to Laura Lee, and I'm going to tell you something. By the end of the day, the to-do list had not only doubled, but it had tripled. So many things. And it's so hard to get them done, isn't it? Have you ever noticed in life with all these time-saving devices that we have, that we have less time than ever, ever before? We have to stay focused and keep our eye on the goal. Someone said the word focus could be represented with these words: follow one course until you are successful. Just follow one. Paul said, this one thing that I do, he says, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, just one thing. Sometimes we get so overextended that we never are good at anything. It is not about having time, though, in life with most of us. It is about making time. It is true. So how are you going to reach the goal? You have to keep your eye on the goal. Number six, self-pity. How many of you are on a pity pot this morning? You know what? We often find ourselves there, don't we? We do. Woe is me. Woe is me. Nobody has it like I've ever had it in life. If you knew what I was going through, I hear all these stories. If you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't be preaching that. I'm going to tell you something. I've been through it many, many times. But self-pity causes people to miss the goal. And it really sabotages you in your best efforts. Self-pity means that it is self-absorbed, feeling sorry for oneself, fueled, listen to this, by a high view of oneself and a low view of God and an attitude, again, of entitlement. Pride goes before destruction, the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 18. And a haughty spirit before a fall. You want to reach your goal? Humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will lift you up, James says. Get rid of your selfish ambitions and start thinking about the greater picture, and start thinking about the end of the road, and that is heaven, and the greater picture is God, and you have to keep your eye on that goal of going to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I really believe that when we don't make heaven our greatest goal, God will not allow us to reach our goals in life. We have to stay focused on His goal. Keep your eye on the goal. And number seven, goals will not be attained when we misunderstand God. Isn't it amazing how sometimes people read the Bible and the Word of God is so clear? It is that even a young child can know the will of God. And yet we misunderstand it. And I mean serious, serious misunderstandings. In the book of Ephesians 4 and 18, the Apostle Paul challenged the church at Ephesus with these words. And he talked about some, and he says, "And they are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from life that is in God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." Many times the reason we misunderstand is that we tell everybody else to be open-minded about everything. But when it comes to God, we don't say be open-minded. Go ahead and close your mind to what you believe is right. And I'm going to tell you something. If people really went to the Word of God, you mark down what I'm telling you this morning. If people really went to the Bible and conquered all of their inhibitions about the Bible and got rid of all their preconceived ideas and said, let's see what God says, you wouldn't misunderstand it. You would understand it. Too many times we are bound by family tradition, just like the Pharisees were. We are bound by preconceived ideas that we have about God, that someone said something about God. Sometimes people do that about the church. Have you ever noticed all of the things that people say sometimes about the church of Jesus Christ? I mean, they lambast the church. They say things about the church. Sometimes because of their jealousy and their inability to get off of their gluteus maximus and move on to the goal, they will say, well, that church down there don't care anything about people. Wrong. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know of another church that cares any more about people than this church. That's why all those souls have been immersed in Christ this year, is because there is a great love in this church. There always has been. I have done my best to perpetrate that goal. And the other elders through the years have done the same thing, and I appreciate them so much. But greater than that is the great love of God. But we must keep our eye on the goal. The question I ask you this morning, where is your eye this morning? Are you keeping your eye on the goal? Are you really? You know, Forrest Gump once said, "My mama always said, you've got to put the past behind you before you can move on." And that's true, isn't it? You got to get the past behind. Too many of us go through life. Have you ever wondered why the windshield is much bigger than that little rearview mirror? God doesn't want you looking in the rearview mirror. Oh, occasionally. But He wants you to see the broader view. He wants us to move on. And how do I accomplish my goals in life? Someone said you have to listen more than you talk. You have to give more than you get. You have to smile more than you frown. You have to agree more than you disagree. And you have to compliment more than you criticize. You have to laugh more than you cry. You have to clean up more than you mess up. You have to be more positive and less negative. You have to be fascinated more than you're frustrated. You have to walk the walk more than you talk the talk. And you have to be more accepting than rejecting. You have to see the cup half full more than seeing it half empty. And you have to help more than you hinder. You have to believe in yourself more than you doubt yourself. You have to work more than you whine. You have to do more than you don't do. You have to act more than react. You have to save more than you squander. You have to care more than you ever have. And you have to love more than you ever have. You know, in the church, you know, the church follows sometimes people in our world in general, don't we? We do. And there are always those people that want to reach the goal without paying the price. We have a caravan of folks who are coming from Nicaragua and El Salvador who are making their way right now through Mexico to reach the American border. And they want to come in illegally into this country. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I know that we have laws in this country that govern immigration. People keep talking about immigration reform. But I'm going to tell you, folks, the greater danger is for those who think that they're going to enter the great kingdom of God illegally. They don't have to go by the Bible. They don't have to follow the pattern of God to get into heaven. And like our president said, they will be turned away at the border. And God has the angelic forces standing at the gate of heaven, ready to welcome those who are honorable, those who have faithfully served Him, those who have reached the goal legally and spiritually. But there will be those who will be turned away. You know what? When mankind sinned and God drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, God placed cherubims and seraphims there at the gate of the garden to keep them from going in, to keep anyone from going back into the Garden of Eden. I'm going to tell you, in heaven, the angelic forces are there. Oh, the angelic forces rejoice when people want to follow God's plan. They do. The race of faith is before us. But we must become a Christian by faith and obedience in baptism. This is the way that we put the past behind us and we move on to the future. When I think about those in the church who do nothing, who are never going to reach their goal, there is a tremendous warning against lukewarm Christians. So then again, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you in the race toward heaven? Or are you just waiting at the starting line? There are too many folks that say, one of these days I'm going to start really working toward reaching that goal. One of these days. It was like a preacher asked a young boy one time. He said, what are you going to do when you get out of school? He says, well, I guess I'll go to college. He said, what are you going to do after you get out of college? And he says, well, I guess I'll get a job. He said, what then? He says, well, I guess maybe I'll find someone and marry them. And he said, well, what then? He says, well, I guess maybe we'll have a child. And he said, what then? He says, well, one of these days I'll work till retirement and I will retire. And he says, what then? And he said, well, preacher, I guess then I will die. And the preacher said, what then? That is the issue, my friend. When you come to the end of your journey, what then? I hope you will have made that resolution to become all that God wants us to be. And you can do it this morning right here in this assembly before people that you love and people that love you. And David has selected this great song, and I can't think of a greater song that ought to move us toward the goal than this one. And if you're not a Christian, we're happy to baptize you this morning into Christ, to see you raised up out of that water to become the new creature that God really wants you to be. And if you have strayed from the goal, you're sitting on the sideline once again. Get up and move forward while we stand and while we sing.